everybody. It's the Prospect Podcast. It's Matt Larkin here yet again. It's not Edward Fraser. I guess I'm just the host now. I'm with Ryan Kennedy as always. I feel like I'm Connor Hellebuck and I was supposed to be the backup. But now I'm just the starter, I guess. I don't know.
Are you calling Edward Andre Pavlich?
I guess I am. Or maybe Steve Mason.
How dare you?
He's expensive and not Mason? Playing. That's
there
right.
There you go.
Lots to talk about today. I guess we're going to start with a little bit of news. One of the highest regarded and most famous prospect tournaments internationally in the world, the Ivan Hlinka Memorial Tournament, has been renamed the Hlinka-Gretzky Tournament, and I know it's going to be played in Alberta this year. So, Ryan, what do you think about that? Is it a little strange to be mixing the names? And I know Gretzky's a legend, but I mean, it was named the Hlinka to honor the late Ivan Hlinka. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I'm kind of conflicted because, look, I mean, Wayne Gretzky, you don't get any more famous in the hockey world than Wayne Gretzky. He's done so much for the sport. He's done so much for the city of Edmonton. So, I mean, he certainly deserves to have that honorific. But at the same token, yeah, I didn't like the idea of this tournament coming to Canada in the first place because we have so much when it comes to hockey. And the Ivan Hlinka, it was always, you know, the Czech Republic and Slovakia would split the games. And it was this really cool thing that, you know, it happened in the summer and, you know, it didn't get a lot of publicity. So I understand, you know, now it's going to have a much higher profile. But it was kind of this like cool, like almost underground thing where you would just have almost all the best 2018 or whatever that year was, you know, all the best draft prospects. This was the first time they play each other, with the exception of the Americans, because they do not traditionally bring the NTDP kids to this tournament. They give other American kids a chance. So you get kids from major junior, you get kids from prep schools. But otherwise, you get all of Canada's best. This is where you would see, you know, some of the finest Swedes for the first time. And, you know, the Russians, and it was just, it's a really cool thing. Now it's different, but I will say that they're doing it the right way when it comes to ticket prices so far. There's a 10-game pack they are advertising, starts at $185. That gives you the medal round games and, the semifinals and the gold medal game, and some other games. I think it's probably some quarterfinal games as well, because some of the games will be in Edmonton, and then there's going to be some other pool games in Red Deer, because they have a brand new arena. But, you know, if you break that down, that's, you know, like about $18 a game. And for junior hockey, that's pretty good. I think we saw at the World Juniors where they went wrong this year in Buffalo and in Montreal before that. So, I mean, kudos to the organizers for recognizing, you know, a good price point for these ticket packages. And, you know, the tournament is going back to Europe every other year. So that's good that it's still there. But I always felt that it was a good challenge for the Canadians in particular to be knocked outside of their comfort zone in this tournament, to go overseas. You get to bond, but, you know, you're not playing in front of a huge cheering Canadian crowd. And undoubtedly in Alberta, you're going to get really good, passionate Canadian hockey fans. And it just seems like a home ice advantage that the Canadians don't need, because they almost always win this tournament. But, you know, it's now going to be on another level. So, I there's positives and there's negatives, but I certainly think, you know, it's still definitely a tournament worth watching, and they've done some positive things for sure before we've even started.
Right, and fair point about the home ice. You'd think it would be a better training for the World Juniors, at least every second year when they go somewhere other than home, to prepare them for those higher pressure situations, road environments. Also, I know recently you went to the CJHL Top Prospects game, a little Junior A action, and I know you were telling me earlier in the office about some of the kids that really impressed you. So tell me more about those guys.
Yeah, I got really excited about this game. It was a very interesting Top Prospects game. So this is Junior A players from across Canada, and then ironically Slava Damon, who we'll talk about at one point. He's an American kid playing for Wenatchee, which is a Washington State-based team in the BCHL. But basically, we're talking about Canadian teams here. It was a good year in terms of breadth, but we didn't have, the super high-end kids that we've seen the past couple of years. Like, we've kind of been spoiled with junior A hockey, particularly out west recently, because last year you had Cale Makar coming out of Brooks. The year before that, you had Tyson Jost, Dante Fabro, right, and Dennis Chalowski all coming out of the BCHL. I don't think there's a player who will go top 15 this year out of the junior A circuit, but there was a good amount of players that I wanted to see live again. And one player that I was not expecting, I didn't have much of a book on him, was Austin Wong, who's a Harvard commit, plays for the Spruce Grove Saints in Alberta. And he was all over the place in this game. He ended up scoring 2 goals in the third period. He was named team MVP. But he was hitting everybody. Like, and it was kind of funny because the arena in Mississauga that they played at, Port Credit, it's a small rink. And the players were so fast that there was a lot of big-time collisions in this game. It was great pace, and it got really chippy really fast. And Wong was a big reason why. He's going to be the next Brendan Gallagher.
And he's not very big, right? You were saying earlier.
He's like 5'11", 190 pounds. So he's not small, but he's not tall. But he was blowing guys up. And Team East was just losing it. Like, he was getting under their skin so bad. At one point in the third period, he just destroyed Matthew Kellenberger behind the net. Totally clean hit. But, you know, he's fast. And, you know, he's just kind of ruthless with these big open ice hits. And so he hits Kellenberger, and that was it. Like, Team East just lost it. Like, Jack McBain got tossed from the game. There was like a mini melee all off this latest Austin Wong hit. But scouts like him. You know, I was talking to one, you know, during the game, and he was like, yeah. I was like, what do you think of Austin Wong? He's like, oh, he's an animal. He's great. He's like, watch him put one bar down in the third. And neither of the goals were barred down, but they're still pretty good goals. So I'm kind of intrigued to see where he goes in the draft now. I'm going to continue to talk to scouts about sort of his placement. But, you know, he's basically a point-per-game player back in the Alberta Junior A League. So he's got the offense, he's got the speed, and he's just horrendous to play against. Like, I would hate to play against this kid. If he plays like that, you know, normally, then I can't imagine how many enemies he has in the AJHL. So that was like the big sort of revelation for me. And then another player that I thought showed pretty well was Angus Cruikshank. And he's a University of New Hampshire commit.
I'm going to guess he's Scottish in heritage.
I would
guess.
Angus
Cruikshank?
Angus Cruikshank, yeah, it's a pretty good name.
He may as well be named Alistair Haggis.
Yeah,
that
really.
Is Scottish, man.
Yeah, Angus McScotland. But he played very well at the World Junior A Challenge for Canada West. They ended up winning the tournament, and he was very integral in that in those victories. Just like a really high-skill guy. And I noticed very opportunistic where, you know, if there was a puck squirting out into the offensive zone, he was on it, and he was getting a lot of good chances. He plays for Langley in the BCHL League, and I know talking to scouts, they think there's something there as well. He's probably more of a, you know, like a mid-rounder, depending on how much you like him. And, you know, probably Wong is the same way at this point, maybe a mid to late rounder, depending on what scouts see as his upside. But I thought he showed well. Now, two players I want to mention that, you know, I thought they were okay in the game were Jack McBain and Slava Damon. And I will say this, when you have these top prospect games, not everybody can be a star. You know, you get kids that stand out, they have a great night, you know, they get instant chemistry, and that's cool, they raise their profile. But when I talk to scouts, they always kind of say, you know, you can't hurt your stock in these games. You can only raise it. So with that being said, you know, like Jack McBain, he's pretty interesting. Team East didn't have as much talent as Team West. But Jack McBain was kind of the biggest name, for sure, amongst the forwards in the game. Coming into the season, I thought he would be a first rounder. He's got great size. He's a Boston College commit. His dad is Andrew McBain that played in the NHL. So he's got the great pedigree. But I'm feeling that he's probably more of a second rounder at this point. We haven't seen the uptick in offense that we expected. You know, he's playing in the OJHL with the Toronto Junior Canadiens, and he's more than a point per game guy, but he's, you know, he's not like 1.5 points or 2 points a game. And based on his pedigree, I expected more this year.
Would
so.
You say maybe like a Nick Bjugstad kind of skill set where he's got great size, but the offense doesn't quite get to the top line level in the NHL, but maybe middle six type of skill set?
Yeah, and you know what? I mean, that's interesting because McBain can do everything. Mm-hmm. You know, he can kill penalties. You know, he's pretty good on faceoffs. And with the size, you know, that's very helpful, certainly. So, I mean, maybe that is his lot in life. He's not an explosive skater. He's been on the podcast, and, you know, he talked about how he knows he needs to get stronger and more explosive in his skating. So it's something he's working on. And I still think that he could be a pretty impactful pro. But these next sort of 2 years, I think, are going to be pretty crucial for his trajectory. And then Slava Daman, I thought he was pretty good in the game, but he wasn't too noisy, if I can use that word. And I'll be talking about a couple of other kids in a second on that same Canada West blue line that kind of overshadowed him. But in Daman, I think you're getting a player where, when I talk to scouts, they see a second rounder. He's got some pretty good size, you know, two-way game. Sometimes he needs to sort of simplify what he's doing and just sort of like think the game at a higher level. But he's one to watch. And then before I get to those two defensemen, there's two other players I wanted to mention, and I'm going to categorize them as kind of wild cards right now because I don't have a book on them, so I'm just going off my viewing from last night. Ethan Manderville, who played for Team East, he got the MVP nod for them. Son of Kent Manderville.
That's what I was going to ask. I assumed it had to
former
be.
Former NHLer Kent Manderville. So Ethan Manderville, big kid. Great big frame. I think he's about 6'4". I thought his hands were pretty good. He made some nifty moves with the puck. I'm not sure if he has a ton of speed, but he can get you goals. And interestingly enough, he was one of the few players in the game who has yet to make a college commitment. And there were a lot of coaches from NCAA programs at that game. There was just a ton of scouts. Period. There was a lot of USHL guys there as well. And then, of course, the whole place was like ringed with NHL scouts and GMs. So that was kind of nice to see. But I'm curious to see where Manderville ends up because I think there's some potential there. And obviously he too has the pedigree through his father. The other player that I hadn't heard of before was Jacob Wasserman, 6'6" goaltender, played for the Humboldt Broncos in the Saskatchewan Junior A League. And he had a very nice showing. I think he only let in one goal, and he had a pretty nice glove hand on the evening. And this year, with the goalies available, it really seems like it's going to be a bit of a crapshoot. You know, the kids that we thought were going to be at the top are kind of struggling in terms of their numbers and their play. And I think it might come down to a lot of teams looking in those, you know, those later rounds saying, well, you know what? We kind of like this kid. Let's see what we can get, you know, and sort of investing long term in a player that might have a lot of raw upside. So Wasserman, he's uncommitted too, if I'm not mistaken. So I'm sure there'll be a bit of a race for him. But I thought he was pretty interesting. And I'll finish off with the two best defensemen in this game, Johnny Tychonic and Jacob Bernard Docker. Johnny Tychonic, he's just an excellent skater. And again, talking to scouts, they love that potential upside he has. He's a great puck handler, and he's just got a real nice burst. There was a couple of zone exits he made out of his own end that he was just flying past the forecheckers. It was really kind of neat to see. I have talked to one scout out west who wants to see more from him overall. I thought that was an interesting criticism, and you got to take in that whole picture. But, you know, from other scouts I've talked to, they're bigger fans. They see him as a second rounder for sure. Mm. And then Jacob Bernard Docker, another good mobile puck mover, and they've played together at this game. They also were a pairing at the World Junior A Challenge, which Canada West won, and they're both committed to North Dakota. So it'll be kind of fun to see if they end up on a pairing together with the Fighting Hawks, because they've known each other for years. And, you know, you got a left shot and a right shot, so it works really well. They've got that chemistry already. And, you know, both of them are just that, like, very modern defenseman. You know, the mobility is awesome. They both handle the puck. They can both, you know, produce offense. And Bernard Docker, he's pretty good, like, responsibly. You know, he can sort of cover when Ty Connick goes on rushes, but, you know, he's also got that capability himself. So kind of fun for North Dakota fans. As it is now, it looks like Ty Connick's probably going to North Dakota next year. Bernard Docker, he might go the year after. It's one of those things where he'll, you know, he'll see how the second half goes. We'll see who leaves the program in the summer. So that one's up in the air, but, you know, eventually they'll both be there, and it'll be kind of fun to see what they can do.
Interesting. And speaking of Jacob Bernard Docker, you were able to catch up with him for an interview. So let's give that a listen right now.
I'm here with Jacob Bernard Docker of the Okotoks Oilers. And Jacob, first off, you recently had a chance to play at the CJHL Prospects game, and it got kind of chippy and wild. What'd you think about the whole experience?
I think it was a really, really cool experience for me. I think playing with all these skilled players definitely ups your play and, you know, opened your mind, you know, to new players and new relationships. And it's really good for, you know, going back to Okotoks. Hopefully I'll carry that momentum.
Right on. And another big experience you've already had this season was at the World Junior A Challenge, playing for Canada West. You guys won gold. What was just that journey like for your team?
Yeah, again, just an unbelievable experience. Putting on that maple leaf is a feeling not like any other. And you know, I had a bunch of relationships with the guys that I'll never lose. And you know, a bunch of the guys are on this team as well. And it was nice to be reunited and kind of talk more and see those guys. So a really cool experience.
One player that you played with, both with CJHL Process Game and with the World Junior Challenge, is Johnny Ty Connick, a fellow North Dakota commit. And you guys have actually known each other for a while, haven't you?
Yeah, we played spring hockey growing up there at the Edge when we were 9, 10, 11, 12 kind of thing. So I've known Johnny for a long time, and you know, we click well together, and he's a great player, skates extremely well, and you know, has a great vision for the ice. So definitely a fun guy to play with.
And it's kind of fun because, you know, you got a left shot, a right shot. So it kind of feels like you guys could be a pairing in the future as well.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I think, you know, that's kind of out of our hands. But, you know, we'll keep playing. And hopefully one day we'll end up as D partners in North Dakota. And that'd be really cool. So.
Now, one thing I was kind of curious about with the World Junior A Challenge is, you know, there's Canada West and Canada East. And, you know, obviously you're playing for that maple leaf on your chest. But when you get to an elimination game and you're facing the other Canada, is that a little weird? How do you get in the right headspace for that?
Yeah, I think it was a bit of a weird feeling, absolutely. You know, seeing the maple leaf on your crest and the other crest was definitely, you know, something, you know, you really wouldn't expect to see. And, you know, but it was really competitive. I think, you know, being the Western boys, we wanted to prove who was the better half of Canada. And, you know, we were lucky enough to win that game and go on, so.
Now, you're committed to the University of North Dakota. What went into that decision for you?
I think just, When I flew down there and met the coaching staff, I think just you know, their professionalism and just how much knowledge they have about the game is what really got me to go there. I think obviously they have great facilities and stuff like that, but I think you know, meeting the coaches and understanding how many guys they've moved on in the past is definitely something that came into my mind when I made my decision. So.
Now, talking to scouts, they're very excited for you in your NHL draft year, the fact that you are a mobile defenseman. But if there's a part of your game that you'd like to improve upon right now, what would it be?
I think just my physicality in the corners. I think sometimes I, you know, get a bit too puck-focused, and you know, I can finish a few more of my checks, so you know, just be a little bit hard to play against.
And if there was an NHL player that you'd like to model your game after, who would it be?
I really like Morgan Riley from the Leafs. I think he's you know, he skates really well. He's extremely reliable and versatile in all situations. Can play power play, penalty kill, all that. So he's definitely a guy I try to watch and model my game after.
And in the here and now, you know, going back to the Alberta Junior A League with Okotoks, what are your goals for the second half of the season? What do you think this Oilers team can accomplish?
Yeah, I think we can accomplish a lot. I think our team's got a lot of depth and we've got a lot of potential, and I think it's just a matter of coming to the rink every day with the right mindset and willing to get better and willing to challenge each other, and you know, I think we can make a real push here. So,
excellent. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, good stuff. Now it's time for our draft spotlight, and we're going to talk about a goaltender who has a very interesting path to the eventual pros, just in terms of his pedigree and where he's come from. Alexis Gravel, the top-ranked North American goalie according to Central Scouting. Tell me about him.
Yeah, Alexis Gravel plays for the Halifax Mooseheads, and I mean, they're just a fantastic team in terms of 2018 prospects. You know, we already know about Philip Zadina, and then you got Benoit Olivier Gruel and Jared McIsaac. Gravel, coming into the season, he was one of those goalies where we thought, okay, he's really going to take off. He's really going to shine. It's been a bit of more of a struggle for him. He was their starter last year. He played 50 games, which was pretty good considering his age. And based on that, I was hoping for a little better result so far in terms of stats. But he's basically split the crease this year with Blade Man Dixon. Fantastic hockey name.
Amazing.
Yeah. But Man Dixon is a veteran. This will be his last year in junior. And, you know, the Mooseheads, they're one of the top teams in the queue, so things are going well. But Gravel, you know, you kind of want him to make that one extra stop. He's got a great frame. But as you mentioned, very interesting past. The first time I interviewed Gravel was at the OHL Cup. He was playing for the Mississauga Senators, even though he was eligible for the Quebec League draft. And the story goes as thus. His dad is a former pro, played for France at the Nagano Olympics. So Alexis grew up in Europe, and at the time, I was like, oh, do you speak Italian? Because he lived in Italy for years. He's like, no, just English and French, but that's still better than me. I only speak English. But his mom got a job in Mississauga. Obviously, the family's from Quebec, or at least Alexis is from Quebec. And so his mom gets a job in Mississauga, which is in the Toronto suburbs. And so Alexis went there with her and played minor midget for the Mississauga Senators, which was a pretty good team that year. And Gravel was excellent. Like I said, he's got the great size. And so he was playing against future OHLers and was teammates with future OHLers, even though he would be drafted by Halifax. So it was kind of a funny scouting mission for anybody in the Quebec League who was looking for a top-end goalie. But, you know, sometimes I think we're seeing that more these days where players are just not only all over the country, but sometimes all over the world to play at these lower age brackets because you want to get prepared for either major, junior, or college, or whatever it happens to be. And even going back to Junior A, you know, you have some programs like Penticton, where Johnny Tychonic plays, they've just become magnets for talent, you know, guys waiting to play NCAA hockey. So you're getting players from Minnesota going to Penticton, and Tychonic's actually from Alberta originally, where Jacob Bernard Docker is still playing. So, you know, Gravel, he's in that company, and as you said, Central Scouting's got him first overall amongst North American goalies. I see him right now as probably like a late second rounder. It's going to be one of those things where once the goalies start to go, they always tend to go in a bit of a cluster, mm-hmm. where somebody kind of breaks the ice and then other franchises are like, okay, well, we need someone, so we better hop on and, you know, and get one of the other top end kids. So that's where I see him right now. I'd like to see him sort of stop one more puck or two a night, but I mean the potential's there, and he's very athletic, so the bones are there.
Good. Time for our team spotlight, and it's a team. Now it seems like their prospects are more relevant than ever as they inch closer and closer to rebuild status. So we're no longer thinking about these as trade chips for Marc Bergevin. They're now guys to build around.
Yes.
The Montreal Canadiens. So let's start with the college prospects. Who do you have your eye on there?
Well, I'll start off with Ryan Poehling. You know, Montreal's first rounder last year. He has developed very nicely. You know, when we were looking at him during his draft year, he was a true freshman at St. Cloud State, wasn't getting a lot of points, but you could kind of understand it because, you know, here's a kid that is playing against guys that were sometimes 4 or 5 years older than he was. And St. Cloud was a pretty young team last year. So you recognize with his size, with his great two-way game, there's a lot of potential there. I think what we've seen this year is, you know, through his play with Team USA, both at the World Juniors and at the summer camp before that, was the offensive dimension really started to come out in him. And I think it's a really positive sign where when you have a kid so smart that has so many tools and he's building up and he's sort of hitting those next levels, I think this is a really astute pick by the Habs. I mean, Trevor Timmins is a scouting master there in Montreal, and I feel bad when they trade away some of the good picks he's made in the past, but Poehling, like, they got to hold on to him because I think he'll definitely be a second-line center at this point, but let's see how high he can fly. I mean, we didn't consider him to be a first-line center, and maybe he isn't, but you know, he seems to be creeping that direction, and I can't help just think that, you know, the growth we've already seen is so positive for him. And he, you know, again, he's only, you know, like 18, 19 years old, so there's still so much potential there. Another even bigger surprise, Caden Primeau, son of Keith Primeau. He's at Northeastern University as a freshman.
Guess he's big?
He's big.
Yeah.
True story. But he's a netminder, and he has been one of the best netminders in college hockey so far. Northeastern's great this year. They've got a lot of prospects that are really, like, sort of at their peak college powers right now. But Primeau, you know, compared to the other goalies that Northeastern has used, he's been just head and shoulders above Ryan Ruck, who is the next you know, amount of starts, but Primo's been the guy. 922 save percentage, goals against average under 2.
Wow.
For a freshman. And I would say too, like, when he was in the USHL with Lincoln, his numbers were pretty pedestrian. And, you know, when you looked at him then, it was like, well, you know, there's some tools there, and obviously he's got the great size, but, you know, again, like with Gravel, there was just some goals where you're like, you know, he probably should have had that one, but whatever he did over the summer worked, and for him to come into Hockey East, one of the toughest conferences in the U.S., and put up the results he has is really impressive to me.
Excellent. What's going on with Laval in the AHL right now?
Well, Laval's kind of interesting. They're, you know, they're not a bad team. They're not a great team. They're one of those AHL squads where there's some veterans that are doing a lot of the offense. The one forward that I think has been doing pretty well is Nikita Sherbak, 26 points in 21 games. You know, this is a player where, you know, the Habs wanted him to get stronger and just sort of fill out his game at the pro level. I think he's getting there, and I think the fact that he's getting his points at that level, I think that's a very good sign for him. Otherwise, you're getting into those sort of, I'll almost call them like legacy prospects, guys like Michael McCarron, I think we kind of know what they are at this point. Mm-hmm. They might be tweeners where you bring them up for some NHL duty, but the expectations aren't super high. Noah Juulsen is in his first pro season on the defense corps. I'm a little worried that he only has 2 points so far, and I know he's a shutdown guy, but in today's NHL, I kind of fear that you have to have at least a little offense in your game if you're going to take it to the next level. Like, it's hard to look around and say, like, you know, there's an NHL defenseman with a handful of points that plays an important role in his team.
Right,
you know?
Right. And it's almost like if you're going to be a 20-point guy in the NHL, you better at least be a 35-point guy in the AHL.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, it's his first year, so plenty of time on that. The interesting scenario for me is in net. And it's kind of funny because, I mean, the Habs have Carey Price. He's going to be there long term. But they have a couple of young goaltenders who they're kind of cycling around the pro ranks. So you got Charlie Lindgren, who's also played in the NHL this year. You got Zach Fekale, and you got Michael McNiven. Fekale and McNiven both had fantastic junior careers. Lindgren, he was interesting because he was very underrated coming out of Minnesota high school, played for Bemidji State in the NCAA, did very well there, and he's been sort of a pleasant surprise for the Habs. Fekale and McNiven have both spent time in the ECHL with the Brampton Beast, and if you're a goalie, that's not a knock. If you're a young goalie, a lot of times you have to play in the ECHL because there's only one crease mm-hmm. in the AHL, and you might have a veteran there because, you know, you want these teams to win as well. So the fact that they've been up and down is not a bad thing for me. At the AHL level with Laval, none of these three have put up really exciting stats. Pretty pedestrian, but again, given where the team is, maybe that's not surprising. But it'll be good to see who kind of sticks out in the next year or two from that crop.
Good. And I know Montreal's top prospects, there aren't many overseas that make up the bulk of their guys to get excited about, but who are you looking at in Europe right now?
Well, I like Joni Ikonen. This is another 2017 pick. He really impressed me at the World Junior Summer Showcase in Plymouth, Michigan during the summer. Had a hat trick in the final game. The Finns lost to Sweden, but like every time Sweden looked like they were pulling away, Ikonen scored. He's not a big guy, but very skilled. Great one-on-one player, kind of a finesse guy, but a lot of good drive to him. He's playing for Kalpa in Finland, and again, they're not a great team. His stats are all right, and again, you know, he's a teenager. Finland, again, was a disappointment at the World Juniors. They were better than the year before, but
that's right.
But they kind of had to be. He was okay there, wasn't great. I expected more, but I kind of feel like Finland wasn't playing the correct style at the World Juniors. They were a lot more conservative than they probably needed to be, and that probably didn't help Ikonen because he's very much a push-it-forward kind of player. Hmm. You know, he uses his speed, he uses his hands to create chaos when he has the puck, and I don't think we saw enough of that. And structurally, that's probably not his fault. But I think there's something there, and you know, he's going to need some time because he does need to get bigger and stronger, but I think he's a pretty good one so far.
Okay, and lastly, what about the Canadian Major Junior Leagues? Who are you looking at there?
Well, I'll start off in the dub. A couple of players, Josh Brooke, who he was injured last year, but played pretty well for Moose Jaw, and then this season started off with wrist surgery, kind of bad luck there, but since he's returned, he's been like a point-per-game player. The Warriors are one of the best teams in the dub, one of the best teams in Major Junior, and they added Cale Clegg to the blue line before the deadline, so now they got a really nice complement of players because they got Brooke, they got Clegg, they got Jet Wu, and they got Dmitry Zaitsev, who's a Washington pick. So Brooke, you know, a good two-way guy, mobile. He can get you some points, obviously, but he's pretty good in his own end as well. So the fact that he came back from that wrist surgery and didn't miss a beat, that's a great sign for both Moose Jaw and for the Habs. Another player that's playing very well is Cale Fleury. Now, when I talked to scouts about him last year, not a lot of them were necessarily sold. This is Hayden Fleury's younger brother. So he's got the height. He's still filling out. He can move the puck very well. But he was seen as kind of a soft guy. So some teams didn't have them on their draft board. But obviously Montreal liked him, and he was with the Kootenay Ice, but he was traded to Regina. Regina is hosting the Memorial Cup, so obviously they've got some nice talent there. And Fleury has been almost a point-per-game player since he got to the Pats. So the offensive side, that puck-moving mobility, that's coming out. So I think the fact that he'll get championship run experience with the Pats, they're guaranteed to play in the Mem Cup.
Right.
So, you know, he'll be in that final tournament. I think that'll be good because Kootenay, I mean, they've struggled the past couple of years. And, you know, I mean, if you lose for too long, it's kind of unfortunate. So for him, I think this will be good for his career. Speaking of a guy in a new scenario, I'll throw it over to the OHL. Michael Pezzetta had been with the Sudbury Wolves, and they've had all sorts of problems in the past couple of years, but got traded to Sarnia, 9 points in his first 5 games. What I like about Pezzetta, because I saw him in the preseason when the Montreal Young Stars played against Toronto, is he's a tough kid. Like, he's got some skill, but he can bang and crash, and he's one of those surprising fighters where he'll pick a fight with a bigger guy And, you know, about 5 seconds in, the bigger guy was like, this is a bad idea.
Yeah.
This guy can throw them. So I think, you know, he's got the offense. And, you know, I don't expect him to be any more than, you know, a fourth liner or maybe a third liner in the NHL. But I think he at least has that potential. And as his junior career winds down, I think he's the type of player that could transition pretty well to the AHL and maybe shake things up a little bit. So he's one to watch. And then finally, Will Bitton, playing for the Hamilton Bulldogs. He's their leading scorer. Bulldogs looking real good this year. I think they're going to have a pretty nice playoff run through the OHL's Eastern Conference. Bitten's another one of those sort of smaller skill guys. But, you know, he's got some nice leadership characteristics. He's been a big part of that Bulldogs team for a couple of years now. Originally was with Flint, but really has found a home in Hamilton. And, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what he can do and once he becomes a pro.
Excellent. Well, thanks, Ryan, for another great prospect rundown. That concludes this prospect podcast. We'll be back soon. And in the meantime, we're going to do everything in our power to find out if Johnny Ticonic has seen the movie Johnny Mnemonic.
Yes.